Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, September 16, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. My TNA Impact Wrestling hit list, John Moore's full-length review of TNA Impact Wrestling. The TNA Impact viewership numbers are in, and all sorts of details on what's going on this weekend in the crazy world of pro wrestling. Non-members, stay tuned. Coming up after the break, my full review of TNA Impact Wrestling. And one more thing before we get into the full review of Impact, I do want to alert you that obviously if you're listening to this, you must enjoy TNA Impact Wrestling. And yesterday in the .NET Weekly audio show, Jake Barnett and I discussed the very latest on the TNA ownership situation, what's going on behind the scenes with the company named Aerolux and Billy Corgan. Details on that, again, available for members in the .NET Weekly audio show. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net and you want to hear full-length audio reviews of all the major television shows, just as I did for the Cruiserweight Classic the other night, for instance, Raw, SmackDown, the full list are covered in audio form. All you have to do is visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you're there, you're going to find the sign-up area. Get inside there, you're going to see three different pricing options. $7.50 will get you in the door. If you want to commit, you can save yourself a little bit of money by signing up for 6 months or the annual rates. The annual rate brings things down to an average of $5.50 a month, so you're actually saving $2 off every month of our monthly rate. But again, all the details are available on the main page at ProWrestling.net, and if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. All right, with that said, I'm going to be following along with John Moore's live coverage review of last night's TNA Impact Wrestling, kind of using that as an outline, so you are welcome to join me and do the same. But the show was taped in August in Orlando, Florida, at Universal Studios. They opened things up with a video with Matt Hardy, kind of recapping what happened last week with the Delete or Decay, and Matt talked about how this was the darkest day in House Hardy, and he said the entire platoon was nearly destroyed, with Rebecca being emotionally traumatized, and King Maxwell nearly abducted, Brother Nero was mutilated, Senior Benjamin was kidnapped, and Vanguard 1 is missing. And he said that these people are more than family to him. They are the magic in his house. Matt had Jeff in a wheelchair and said he was taking him to the Lake of Reincarnation. And Jeff had a t-shirt on. It was like a white t-shirt, and it's like bloodstains on it. It was from the Janus shot. Maybe the first time anyone has ever supposedly been hit by Janus, which is Abyss's weapon. A board with nails or something? It's the weapon that never gets used in regular matches because it would kill someone. Matt said that he begged the seven deities to regenerate Jeff's wounds, and he ended up putting him inside the lake, and sure enough, Jeff was saved. So Jeff is healed. I can think of a lot of things I'd like to bring to the Lake of Reincarnation, including my little algae-eating fish, Miko, who passed away today. Matt, can you help me? Once Jeff emerged from the Lake of Reincarnation, he started yelling delete and obsolete, and Matt said one member of House Hardy was back and two more to go. Next up on his list, Vanguard 1. I guess that shows you where you rank, Senior Benjamin. By the way, I did call this in the headline of this audio update that you're reading, kind of Matt Hardy saves the day. And I got to say, saving his family, House Hardy, but also saving this show, as much as this show could be saved. This was not a hot edition of Impact. I should have said that up front, but you'll find out why as we work our way through this. Lashley ended up coming to the ring. The broadcast team with Josh Matthews and the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro. And Lashley was cut up. He talked about EC3 briefly, and then he started to kind of taunt Jeremy Borash, kind of bullying him around a little bit. Long story short on that, you had Grado come out to basically save Borash and stand up to Lashley and kind of engage in a little bit of a verbal sparring session with him. And he said Lashley facing Grado was a bigger joke than facing Borash. And then Grado said he's known Borash for years. Borash is a much bigger joke than he will ever be. And the crowd did get a kick out of that one. They were laughing. Grado said he gets it. He talked about how he's small. It's like, no, I don't think that's what it is. It's maybe a little bit on the shorter side, I guess. I don't know. I never thought of Grado as being a particular, maybe he is, but I never looked at him that way. It just, he doesn't have a body like most wrestlers these days. And so I don't know that he wanted to call himself fat, but I think there's a better way of putting it than he's small. Small is not what I think of when I see Grado. But anyway, he was just, he was standing up to Lashley because he's no coward. And that courage got him nowhere because Lashley roughed him up pretty easily. And then Moose ended up coming out, and Moose and Lashley took time kind of sizing each other up. And then Moose ended up taking down Lashley. They started to throw punches. Moose takes Lashley down with the clothesline, causing Lashley to retreat. And then Moose said Lashley fears no man. He said he's only he told Lashley that he fears no man. He said he is not only going to defeat him, he's going to whoop his ass. And Moose said people want to see Lashley and Moose tonight. Even if he has to drag Lashley's ass to the ring, he was going to beat the hell out of him. Lashley just kind of laughed it off and walked up the ramp as Moose's music played. I do like that Moose is back on his own. I was worried that he was going to go from being Mike Bennett's sidekick to being, well, Lashley's sidekick. Unfortunately, that's not happening. I mean, I think TNA, I really feel like they made a mistake bringing Moose in as kind of the second to Bennett or sidekick to Bennett, however you want to phrase it. It's like just because they were both in Ring of Honor, it's not like they had some connection there. It's not like they were buddies in Ring of Honor on the television show within the storyline. So it really just kind of felt like a reach. And Moose is a kind of a green prospect type. He might be older, but he's fairly new to wrestling. He spent his a lot of time playing football, and so, but he can do some impressive things for a guy his size. And I think Ring of Honor actually did a good job of showcasing him. Initially, I mean, they kind of reached a point where it's like, you're going to do anything with this guy. But with TNA, I kind of feel like they should have picked up where Ring of Honor left off. And I think they decided instead, let's put him with Mike Bennett. Now, they may have had this in mind to split them up in time for Bound for Glory, but the whole thing kind of feels unnecessary. I'm looking forward to the match, but I think they could have easily gotten to that without pairing Mike Bennett and Moose. Jeremy Borash then kind of did a recap video. He was narrating a video on the Grand Championship. And then they recapped the rules. Aaron Rex was walking backstage, and he said 2 months ago he thought that he could never be in a wrestling ring again. And he said he came to Impact to be part of something special because they are changing the game and doing things their own way. And he said he rediscovered his love for this, and he said the Grand Championship was like anything this industry had ever seen. And he said people that know him knows that he's adapted to every situation he's been put in. And he said Drew Galloway has been handed every opportunity, but he has to take and create every opportunity. And Rex said that he will go through every man to get through Drew. So they're on opposite ends of the bracket for this tournament. And he said Galloway's going to find out the difference between a person who complains and a person who goes out there and does what they say they're going to do, and adapt, adjust, and evolve. And he said he would see Galloway soon. They go to a commercial break. I like Aaron Rex. I still think TNA made a mistake in turning him. I don't. Not turning him, because it wasn't like he went from heel to babyface in TNA, but they are really risking things. I mean, they had a really hot babyface in Drew Galloway, a guy who just played that good white meat babyface role, and they're turning him. And I think he's going to be fine as a heel, but I think it's really tough to find a guy who can play that babyface role as well as Galloway did. And I don't know that Aaron Rex can do it. I know Aaron Rex can be a solid heel, and I'd like to see him get an opportunity as a heel. But I don't know that he's going to click as a babyface. The crowd was hot for him when he showed up because he was, fresh off of WWE, and it was, not a surprise because they let the cat out of the bag, which I actually approved of. Because why build up people's anticipation and let them wonder who it is? Half the people might have thought, hey, it's Damian Sandow. The other half might have thought it's Ryback, and that Ryback crowd is going to be disappointed. Plus, TNA has a bad track record. They've thrown out so many tune in for this surprise, and they've let you down. And so I applaud that. But I just kind of feel like with Sandow, once you got that initial reaction out of the way, it's just kind of now he's got to prove himself. And maybe he will. That's the thing. But I'm not wowed by him as a babyface yet. I'm not enough that I would have run the risk of moving Drew Galloway into a heel slot when he was doing so well as a babyface. We ended up with Lashley complaining about Moose, and he just talked about, he said there, the old saying goes, and I'm like, I've never heard this saying, Bobby Lashley can make you famous. That's a household phrase. Everybody uses that. He said that the answer to Moose's challenge as a fighting man is no, because fighting Lashley is bad for Moose's health. Then it was time for the another first-round Grand Championship tournament match. It's an 8-man tournament. They had a couple matches last week, a couple more this week. It'll culminate at Bound for Glory with Aaron Rex and Drew Galloway. That's not a spoiler, because I don't know the spoilers. It's just been, they foreshadowed the hell out of that. since the beginning of this. And I could be wrong. There have been other things where I was pretty certain they were going to go in one direction, but this one I feel pretty confident in. We'll see if I'm right about that one. Aaron Rex defeated Trevor Lee in 5:32 to advance. Aaron Rex looks like he's put on a little bit of weight in the midsection. He didn't look like he was at his peak physically, and the crowd just wasn't all that hot for his entrance. You know, he came out, and he's got a nice entrance that TNA's put together for him, and it just kind of felt like the thrill was gone. Now, in his defense, this was not a great Impact Zone crowd. There were other things that you would have thought they would have been reacting to that they really just kind of sat there for. So maybe it was some of that. But I don't know. I mean, he hasn't done anything since week one to really wow anyone. It's just kind of I kind of am just sitting here watching the show in wait and see mode on Aaron Rex, kind of waiting for him to wow me. And I haven't been there yet since he's been in TNA. Granted, first match. So, can't read too much into it, but I'm just telling you how I feel, which is kind of, like I say, wait and see. And this match didn't win me over as far as thinking Aaron Rex is this going to be this great babyface in TNA. I just wonder if it's going to be the opposite of Moose, where he comes in as a babyface, and a couple months down the road, they go, you know what, let's turn him heel. We probably should have done that to start with. But he won the first round by split decision. And because it's a round format that they're doing with judges, unnamed judges, but he ended up, Lee ended up fighting back with a boot and a high knee. Rex blocked a fisherman's buster and hit Lee with the discus elbow, and he picked up the win. The finish, if I remember it, looked good. I'm pretty sure that one stood out as I think back on the show here. A little bit foggy right now, but because of my poor fish. But no, I remember there was the finisher. Like, oh, that's a finisher. When I saw it, like, this must be the end of the match. And so, even though it's new to TNA, it stood out as, like, that's a good finisher. Aaron Rex went to each corner to celebrate. The crowd was kind of, yay. And then he worked hard to kind of get them fired up a little bit. And, you know, he had some success in getting some people to stand up. So, I think even he realized, like, boy, this crowd is tough. So, he wins, which you would expect him to. Trevor Lee, and I'm not going to throw a tantrum because he lost to Aaron Rex. I know they have, they presumably have a lot invested in Rex. They got to do more with Trevor Lee. Talented guy. I just don't understand why. You know, they finally get one of those quote-unquote internet darlings that people are buzzing about. And for good reason. Trevor Lee's a talented guy. And TNA just doesn't do anything with him. Yes, they gave him a run at the X Division title. We know nothing more about Trevor Lee today than we did when he first debuted in Impact, on Impact. And that's really a shame. They need to do more with him. Then we had Jeremy Borash interviewing Maria, who is the Knockouts champion. And she said that we would find out who her Bound for Glory challenger is tonight. And she said she wanted to move Gail Kim's Hall of Fame induction to this show. Rather than at Bound for Glory, and Borash said it was supposed to be at Bound for Glory, and she insisted it would be tonight. And since Borash is tight with her, send him away to go inform Gail Kim, because Borash does like MC work, I think, for the Robert Irvine show, the traveling show. So Jeremy Borash has been a regular host, or I don't even know what the exact title is, but I guess that's what she was getting at with their friendship. Coming out of a commercial break, we had Broken Matt searching for Vanguard in the forest in Cameron, North Carolina. He found him. He crashed into a tree, and Matt was just heartbroken, as was I watching this. He thought it was all over for Vanguard 1, and he said, "Don't you dare do this to me," and he's just rolling around the ground in agony. And Matt Hardy called upon the seven deities again and pled with them to install the power, essence, and life of Jeff Hardy that was deleted and put it into Vanguard 1 to save his life. And then, sure enough, he went into kind of a memory sequence, which was fun, and he was alive. As alive as a drone can be. And it was all sorts of good fun here with Vanguard 1. And so, of course, Matt was thrilled that his little buddy, Vanguard 1, was alive and well. And then he sent him off to find Senior Benjamin. So, Vanguard 1 lives. As I wrote today in the hit list, I've never been so happy to see a drone fly. I was worried we were about to get Vanguard 2. Then we had Maria and Allie in the ring, and Allie was, she was all bubbly, and as she should be, she's a lot of fun, so she wasn't letting the loss of the Knockouts Championship still get to her. She was very happy on this show, and Maria just started boasting as usual, and she does it very well. Maria's a really impressive talent, and Maria said it was unfortunate that everyone wants to talk about someone else because the crowd was chanting Allie, and Maria said it wasn't Allie, since Allie is stupid, And common, just like the fans. And Allie then gave her sad face. And Maria said everyone was talking about Gail Kim. And she said since Billy and Dixie want to mess with her, by the way, no Corgan on this show. We did see Dixie, but no Billy Corgan this week. And since they want to mess with her leadership, she was messing up Bound for Glory by having a Hall of Fame induction early. Gail Kim comes out, and the story, she had Maria played a video package for her, as they would do for the usual ceremony. But in this case, it was just clips of Maria beating the snot out of Gail Kim, which I thought was funny. It did get a chuckle out of me. And then they also had a gift ready that Maria had got. She said it wasn't anything silly like a watch. She handed her a picture, a framed picture of Maria holding the championship. Allie likes Gail Kim, and so she got her a real present, basically. And before she could present it to her, Maria took it and stomped it. I'm praying that wasn't like a kitten or a puppy. Please, don't let that be a kitten or a puppy. Then Dixie Carter came out, and nobody cared. And they ended up having her announce that, it was that Gail Kim will go into the Hall of Fame and Bound for Glory with the type of ceremony she deserves. And Dixie said that Gail Kim didn't technically lose. I completely forgotten Gail Kim lost some match by DQ or something. Dixie said that Gail was in the Knockouts Gauntlet match tonight, so she had a chance to win the gauntlet and go on to face Maria at Bound for Glory. It was the it almost as foreshadowed as Aaron Rex and Drew Galloway. But then we ended up with kind of a recap of the Rockstar Spud and Braxton Sutter segment from last week, and we found out that they were having an empty arena exposed turnbuckle match. Like, now? You're really not gonna go out of your way to like build this up for a week or something? He basically gave him a curb stomp onto an exposed turnbuckle, and I don't mean the Seth Rollins kind, but yet Braxton Sutter was fine. This man has like the strongest teeth in the world or something. But this is all because Braxton Sutter legitimately caught Rockstar Spud with a kick that knocked out some teeth, and they've been trying to incorporate that into a feud now, turn that into something. And so now they're having an exposed turnbuckle, empty arena match, and it was Braxton Sutter just dominating Rockstar Spud and beating him in 5 minutes and 15 seconds. And Spud did cough up some blood, so he had like a, well, I mean, it was just dominant. There was really not much to this. We didn't get to hear from either guy beforehand. Spud is one of the best talkers in the game, and I don't know if his dental issues are preventing him from delivering great promos, or if I'm guessing it's just the lack of time that he's being given, which is really a shame. If they don't think they have some talent in the X Division to showcase, I think they're wrong. They've selected DJ Z. He's okay. He's a wrestling DJ. I'm not big on that. But you have Rockstar Spud. If Eddie Edwards is an X Division guy, you certainly have him. We talked earlier in the show about Trevor Lee. So there is some talent there. They're just not really choosing to showcase anyone, and it's a shame. But this was just, sadly, the live crowd here was as hot as they were for the rest of the show, even though there was no one in the building for the match. But yeah, I thought this was something, if they built to it and the wrestlers had some fun with it, and maybe one just yelled, "My thigh," instead of "my eye," like Terry Funk did back in the day, it would have worked. But yeah, it was just pretty straightforward, and like, all right, I guess, what did you need to fill 6 minutes of television time or something, and you came up with this? I don't know, it didn't leave me wanting to see more. It just was like, that's it? All right. Then it was time for Matt Hardy to send Vanguard 1 after Benjamin, and he had a Senior Benjamin milk ad in his memory banks, and which is good, because I've said, with Senior Benjamin, it's a shame that this isn't a WWE angle, or that New Day isn't in TNA, because with Bootios, the best thing you could have to go along with your Bootios is Senior Benjamin on the back of a milk carton. Somebody should be selling these gimmicks together. My lord, you could have your Bootios right there at the frickin' building if you wanted to. Anyway, we ended up with James Storm's Revolution Barn is what John Moore assumed this where this was located. And he might be right, I'm not quite sure. But no, they found Vanguard 1 found Senior Benjamin injured. He was tied up, and he was not happy, because Vanguard 1 asked if he was okay, and he asked, "What took so long, you bucket of bolts," in Spanish. And then he said he was going to go attain the aid of Mr. Hardy. And then we found Matt Hardy, he found the barn, and he called it the a decrepit erection. And no jokes there, folks. Then Matt ended up freeing Senior Benjamin, and Benjamin said he was okay. He had decay painted on his forehead. And then Matt said Senior Benjamin should rest and recuperate. And afterward, he told Benjamin to supply the largest stockade of weapons ever known to House Hardy. He said the Great War was coming and bound for glory. And I want to stress, this wasn't like Matt Hardy's finest night as Broken Matt or anything like that, but it was still, you know, fun follow-up. There was fun things here with the, I mean, how can you not smile when you see Senior Benjamin? And then Vanguard 1 has just become like Matt Hardy's personal R2-D2. And so, I mean, it's just fun. It's not something that's going to be for everyone. I've been through it before. I get if you're sitting there going, I hate this. Okay, but there's enough people who were paying no attention to TNA Impact Wrestling whatsoever who are suddenly watching this show. Delete has replaced TNA sucks as the chant when Matt Hardy shows up. Or if there's just, I mean, it's just, it's TNA sucks was like the most popular chant at an indie show or anytime TNA would come up anywhere. And we've seen at WWE shows, the Hardys are mentioned, people chant delete. So this is working. Even if it's not for you, it is working. And sometimes you just have to accept that. Believe me, there's things in wrestling that are not for me and all good, but it's working. And I happen to enjoy this one, so it doesn't fall into that category. I'm getting a big kick out of this, even though it goes against like so many of my desires for just basic logic in pro wrestling and wanting that sports-like vibe to things. But it's working, and I enjoy it. I kind of went in kicking and screaming, and boy, I mean, it was just kind of right before the final deletion. It was like, you know what? This is actually fun. Let's just embrace the madness and see where it goes. And I've been rewarded ever since. I've enjoyed the hell out of it. Moose ended up being interviewed about Lashley and saying no to his challenge. And he said that, Lashley saying no to his challenge. And then Moose said that he and Lashley were destined to fight. And he said Lashley was knocked down his ass by Moose. And he asked if Lashley was going to accept his challenge or run like a little bitch. So, yeah, Moose said, we found there was a reason that I never quite understood how much of a purpose Stokely Hathaway really served in Ring of Honor, because they didn't have him say much for Moose. Moose just isn't a good promo yet. And so I don't know that Stokely Hathaway was necessarily the answer. Maybe he's a good manager, and Ring of Honor just never gave him an opportunity. I don't know, but they may want to find somebody to do the talking for Moose. Hopefully, you know, with time, maybe he'll grow into this. Who knows? But Brother Nero's obsolete theme played, and the Hardy family was in the middle of the ring, so we did not get to see the Hardy's entrance. But Matt talked about, long story short here, they kind of recapped where things have been. I didn't blame the crowd for being quiet here, because I don't think they had seen the Delete or Decay, so they probably had no idea what the hell was going on. You had Decay come out, and they like to have them come out at different places, and so they talk from three different areas, and it's Crazy Steve is doing a full-on Joker routine, Heath Ledger's Joker-type routine, and it's fine. I mean, it's working. It is what it is. I'm enjoying his Joker-style promos more than I am just seeing kind of the very empty Alexa Bliss tribute to Harley Quinn. She looks like her, but there hasn't been any type of change in attitude or anything like that. So, I mean, at least with this, well, he was Crazy Steve. I still think the name Crazy Steve is terrible, but he's kind of a wrestling evil clown, and who better to impersonate? And he's doing a good job with it. So I like what DK is doing, and it's just basically they're going to have their great war at the at Bound for Glory. And Abyss spoke. I beg of you, TNA, no thumbtacks. I know it's a great war, but there's nothing that screams just bad years of TNA to me quite like Abyss pulling out the thumbtacks and then pouring them out. And I know it gets a cheap pop from the crowd every time. I just don't want to see it anymore. There's just something about it. And I like Abyss in TNA now that he got rid of the Texas Chainsaw Horror, or Texas Chainsaw Massacre horror movie tribute clothing. Now that he actually looks like the other two, I'm digging it. He's doing fine. But anyway, they all got in the ring. Rebby gave Rosemary kind of a ground and pound because she was called her an unfit mother, so she tackled her. And then Jeff gave Abyss and Steve a twist of fate. Matt gave Abyss a twist of fate. And then Rebby gave Rosemary a twist of fate, and the crowd chanted delete. And the crowd was into this by the end of it. And then Matt Hardy's music played, and Steve yelled, "War is only skin deep," and they went to a commercial. Looking forward to it. I mean, I enjoy the final deletion and delete or decay type things, but looking forward to seeing what they come up with for Bound for Glory, because I assume it's going to be right there in the impact zone. It's not going to be something they film in Cameron, North Carolina. If it is, boy, that crowd's going to be pissed. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do within the venue, too. I think that's going to be interesting to see. We had Mike Bennett approach Lashley backstage, and he asked, or he said, if Lashley wouldn't let Moose, if he were Lashley, wouldn't let Moose talk to him like that. And Moose, or Lashley tried to blow him off, but then Bennett kind of sucked up to Lashley, and Bennett ended up telling him that Moose called Lashley a bitch to try to, he was trying to stir the pot here. And Lashley said he was whooping Moose's ass tonight and might come back to finish Bennett. And then we had Jeremy Borash introduce Jade as the first entrant in the gauntlet match. Boy, was this bad. This was, so they're just doing a gauntlet match to determine the number one contender to the TNA Knockouts Championship. They'd foreshadowed the hell out of this earlier. It was like, oh, so Gail Kim is winning. Because everything is, I mean, other than Allie and Maria, everything else has been pointing to Maria and Gail Kim for the longest time. And they did introduce Laurel Van Ness, who I think was is Chelsea Green. And she was a Lance Storm student. Not a good outing for Miss Van Ness. And not a good job. I mean, you can say what you want about her in the ring. This is a lousy way to introduce somebody, to put just throw them out there randomly in a gauntlet match. Granted, they did have Maria stop Allie from going to the ring. Said she that they, you know, she had found someone better than her, and that's how she introduced Laurel Van Ness, but we didn't hear anything from her. She just, you know, it just was really disappointing. She was, yeah, Chelsea Green from Tough Enough, trained by Lance Storm, and so I'm just a really disappointing debut for her. I felt bad for her based on, you know, the way she was positioned, but then she didn't have a good outing in the ring either. But the match itself was Gail Kim winning. I'm not even going to waste my time going through all the eliminations and things like that. It's just, she ended up, it came down to her and Sienna. There was a moment where I think it was Allie ended up helping out Gail Kim at one point too, but it was quick, and so she ended up still leaving with Maria. But it was Gail Kim defeating Sienna, when it came down to the final two. So she becomes the number one contender to the Knockouts Championship. And after all this, she gets her match with Maria. Now, if you've been watching long enough, even though I haven't enjoyed the build to this match, I've enjoyed Maria and Allie more. But this goes back to Slammiversary. They built to a match there, did a good job with it, but Maria couldn't wrestle due to a legit hand injury, and so here we go again. So if you've been watching long enough, you may want to actually see this match, despite, you know, what the build has been. Then it was time for the continuation of the Grand Championship Tournament. This time it was Eddie Edwards defeating Mahabali Shera, and he did so via submission. They split the first two rounds, and then Eddie wins by submission. First off, Eddie carried Shera to, I think I described it as inoffensive is the best way to put it. Shera's just, I mean, he's so green, and he tries hard, and everybody says he's a really good guy and all that, and obviously, they want to have an Indian star. They have a good partner in Sony 6. We'll see where that goes if they do end up with WWE programming, how long that partnership lasts. There's some kind of deal where Sony 6 was buying the network that has a WWE contract, so we'll see how that ends up playing out. But I would not have put Mahabali Shera in this tournament. If you want people to take this new championship seriously, then don't put Shera in the tournament. I think it's that simple. You know, he doesn't have any in-ring credibility, and if you want, and this isn't to play, like if they thought, well, a match with Eddie Edwards is a good place to start. Maybe he can have a good outing. It's not going to work, and it didn't work. It's like, okay, it wasn't as bad as we feared, thanks to Eddie Edwards, but it was still bad. And no one's looking at Mahabali Shera any differently. But, you know, if you want a new title belt to feel meaningful, and yet out of the eight guys who were selected to compete, one of them is Mahabali Shera? Seriously. I mean, stop and think about that for a second. So, poor decision there, but Edwards wins. Obviously, the right guy goes over. They came back from a commercial break, and it was time for Moose, and then Lashley came out with the mic, and they ended up more jawing, and then basically Lashley had told him that he sent EC3 to the hospital, so Lashley basically assumed that the Bound for Glory main event was off for some reason, and he said they should do it at Bound for Glory for the big money, and Moose said Lashley was right. October 2nd, Bound for Glory, Lashley against Moose. He said, and Lashley credited him with being a smart man and said big money, and Moose said that the only problem was he couldn't wait, and then he attacked Lashley. And Lashley ended up tossing Moose outside. Moose pulled Lashley under the ropes to ringside with him, and Lashley was tossed into the barricade. They fought to the announcers area, and then Moose slammed Lashley into a turnbuckle. Lashley turned the table by throwing. He ended up turning the table by throwing Moose into the ring steps and dominated the next sequence, as John wrote. And then Lashley ended up taking the action in the ring and went for a spear. However, Moose hit a drop kick, and then Moose went for the game breaker, but Lashley came back with a spine buster. All of this goes on until Mike Bennett comes out, and he ran into and he punched Moose from behind. Moose just no-sold it, and then Moose became distracted, though, and ended up taking a spear from Lashley, and then Lashley and Bennett put the boots to Moose, and EC3 made his entrance with taped ribs, and then EC3 ended up plowing through Bennett and then got to Lashley, and then Lashley and Bennett double-teamed EC3, but EC3 hit a double clothesline, and the show went off the air with the EC3 standing tall, which left me thinking, okay, they probably did all of this to get to EC3 teaming with Moose to go against Lashley and Bennett next week, and that's just a guess. If I'm wrong on that, so be it. But if they are going with that match, again, if I don't get the spoiler sent to me, I just don't read ahead when it comes to TNA, and because I'd like to just kind of enjoy it as I'm seeing it. But in this case, like, if they are going with that match, tell us. Tell us at the end of the show. Tune in next week. TNA has done a much better job of that this year. It's been one of the benefits, I think, a couple things. It's been the benefit of taping these, you know, holding these marathon tapings. They obviously have to put together all these weeks of television in a row, so they know exactly what they're going to be doing at the next taping by the time they even get to the building. If they're doing six shows, they know what on episode one what they intend to do on episode six as well. Now, there's going to be injuries and things that change that, but they've done a really good job of advertising. It's also the benefit of not working for Vince McMahon, who can't really book, you know, anything a week out. Okay, we'll give him credit. He did book Owens and Roman Reigns and stuck with it on Raw. But, I mean, that just hasn't been Vince's style for years to book much in advance. And it's one of the reasons I think that TNA, it's one advantage TNA has because of this format. And you don't have to have this format. There's no reason Vince McMahon can't be disciplined enough to do it a different way, but he doesn't. And with TNA, I credit them by, you know, when they do give you something, when they promote something in advance, and they really didn't give me any real incentive to tune in next week. I know that the House Hardy is fine. I know that EC3 stood tall. I know there's a continuation of the championship tournament, the grand championship tournament, but I can't say I really feel invested in that. So what's my hook for next week? And now we're entering that season where not only football is here, but also and pro football and college football, as we found with the viewership numbers last night. I'm not a college football guy. I certainly knew there was an NFL game last night, but I'm not a college guy. And I'm sure that's going to be the same throughout the year. I think college does run a lot of Thursday night games for TV purposes. So they're going to be running against that. But you're also getting the return of Thursday night network programming, which is traditionally an incredibly strong night for the networks, if not their strongest night. So TNA has very stiff competition. The good news for TNA is that they held up very well this week against the second week of NFL programming. It was nice to see that they managed to bounce back. Coming last week, they were just kind of they were way down up against the first NFL game of the season, doing 337,000 viewers last week, which was low even by just by their recent standards on pop. And then this week, though, they bounced up to a 366,000 total. So that's good, but I don't feel like TNA gave their viewers that tuned in, the extra viewers, a strong show. I didn't come out of this looking forward to next week. It didn't make me look forward to anything in particular at Bound for Glory. So this was a disappointing show. And it's too bad because I review this show weekly in audio form, and more often than not, you know, it's exclusive to members. And I'm also praising the show. It worked out where the week that I'm actually reviewing it on the All Access side is just one of those weeks where I just kind of felt blah about the show, unfortunately. But I continue to say that I've really enjoyed. There's many weeks where TNA Impact Wrestling is my favorite of the major pro wrestling shows of the week. And this wasn't it. This certainly wasn't. But I definitely continue to tell people, check it out. You know, I think more and more people have because of the broken mat thing. And even Zach Zimmerman, who just threw his hands up long ago with TNA. He was done with them. He told me, we were having a conversation before we recorded an audio recently, and he just said that he's been watching more of it lately. He's just kind of been drawn back in, and he's liked what he's seen. And so there's some good things happening in TNA, just don't make this show your starting point, I guess. It wasn't the worst, but this was not a great example of really strong TNA television. That is going to do it for today, everybody. Don't forget, again, details on TNA's ownership situation. We also, in the .NET Weekly audio show, Jake and I also discussed CM Punk and his UFC future, and additional, just all the major pro wrestling topics of the week in the .NET Weekly audio show, which is available exclusively to members. So be sure to check that out. And then I will be back on Monday. I'll be at the NXT show on Sunday, so look for my review of that sometime Sunday evening. And then Monday, I'll be back with the All Access show. I'm guessing I'll spend some time talking about that NXT live event experience. Looking forward to checking that out on Sunday in St. Paul, Minnesota. And a big thank you again to NXT and WWE for not doing what they originally were, which is trying to run opposite the Minnesota Viking and Green Bay Packer game, the first game at US Bank Stadium. And it was scheduled to go opposite. Thank God cooler heads prevailed on that. It is now a matinee show, and I'm looking forward to that. But thank you very much for listening, everybody. I will talk to you soon. Take care.